we've got a shout of praise. He's here today.
Good morning. My name's Jeff. I'm so glad that you are here today. And if it's your first time, I hope you've been made to feel welcome, that you belong. And if that isn't the case, I've said it for 18 years, I'll say it again. If you come in those doors and you didn't feel like you wanted to be here, that we wanted you here, then find the guy named Rob and he will take you to lunch today. He wants to buy your lunch. So far, no one's took us up on that, so thank you for your honesty. We are continuing our look at worship, biblical worship, what it is, why we do it, how we do it. And we kind of turned a corner last week and we began to talk about praise. I guess what I want to know from you today is if you are participating in our 40-day challenge, maybe you started yesterday, so it's your one-day challenge and you've got, you know, like just a couple weeks left, that's totally all right. But if you're here and you have experienced a different level of worship and a different level of your connection with the creator of the universe, the one true God, can you just give him praise in here today? Yeah. I'm telling you, it has completely changed the way I approach prayer and worship. It has. And it's not because of what I've said. It's because of what the Word says about how we approach his throne. He's God. I'm not.
Right.
He's right and I'm wrong. And I just want to come into his presence and bless his name. It's amazing that every time we get in his presence, anything is possible. Anything.
Yes.
Anything is possible. Take your Bibles out if you would, because we are going to be all over the place. We're going to read a lot of verses. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There'll be one in front of you, maybe in the seat in front of you. If you don't want to rifle through that because the print is a little small, that's okay. The verses will be on the screen behind me. I want you to know I'm not making this up as I go. If you need a Bible, find anybody with an Ask Me badge. Give them your name. Tell them, I need a Bible, and you will have one by next Sunday. It would be a nice study Bible. You want leather, we'll get leather. I can get any color you want. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, if you will read it, I will buy it. Amen. We've come quite a distance, and we've learned a lot. I want to begin with Psalm 150, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. It's just going to be where we launch. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, that I'm getting accosted. Your Bible says, honestly, I don't know what I'd do without these guys. Am I dressed? I'm good, right? Okay. Your Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's say that together in concert together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, I got to ask you a simple question. Are you breathing? Then let's shout the praises of the name of Jesus in this house. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Here's what we got to understand. We don't have breath were it not for the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we're looking at how praise and worship are kind of the same thing. They are just expressed differently. They are born from the same place and they are motivated by the love in our heart for the King. And even though worship, as we bow down and then bow down and we come into his presence with reverence, and again, even the King's kids had to bow before the King. I'm glad to be one of the King's kids, but I got to make sure that I don't get too proud, that I don't have to bow before my Father. And we learn that praise is just the expression of worship, only differently. In fact, let's look at the two definitions of praise that we learned, just so we know where to start today. First of all, praise is defined as an expression of approval and elevated adoration. Expression. Everybody say expression. Listen. We got a lot of church backgrounds in here, and I'm so glad you're here. I really am. And so what you're going to find out is that I'm not going to preach to your tradition. I can't do that, because I would have to preach this same sermon like 10 times, okay? So I'm not going to preach to your tradition. We're going to read what the Bible says, and we're going to change our life and adjust to it. Amen. Amen. Say expression. Expression. Praise must be expressed. Praise can't be something that no one knows you're doing. In fact, it's impossible. If you study praise in the scripture from Genesis to the book of the Revelation of John, you'll see that praise, and again, you don't have to praise like me. I don't have to praise like you. You don't have to pray. But you can't hide it. In fact, the whole purpose of praise is so that it's made known. So that it points people to the one true God. That's why God impressed it upon his people, the children of Israel, man, praise, 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 worship and praise. He said, I brought you out of Egypt so you would worship me. That's the reason he delivered them. That's the reason you've been delivered. It's so that we can worship and praise our King. But there's another definition of praise in the scripture. And you see it in your notes. It says an expression of gratitude, reverence, and respect as an act of worship. Worship and praise are not exclusive of each other. And again, I repeat that the church has done a disservice to you and to me. And we've kind of drawn this line, and we joked about it last week, but it's always kind of been the couple of fast songs in the beginning, right? And then we turn a corner and we get real serious when it comes to worship. They're the same. They're just expressed differently. And we've drawn this line that says there's praise and then there's worship. Forget titles. Forget how you word it. Understand this. When you are in the presence of God and you are worshiping Him and He is just speaking to you and filling you, listen, you cannot contain it. You can't. You will overflow. It turns into praise. And what happens is we learned that praise is it completes the act of worship, if you will. And I want you to notice in both of those definitions, the word expression is in there. And why is that important? It's important because many of us have been trained by bad theology and incorrect church culture that we have to be very, very careful because we don't want things to get out of hand. I want you to understand something. Nothing is in hand. I ain't in control of anything. I relinquished any control I thought I had a long time ago. Praise is expression. Okay, all right, I'm on board, Jeff. What does expression mean? I'm glad you asked. The process of, say it with me, making known. Say it again, making known. The process. That means that it's not just a one and done. You feel me? The process of making known or conveying or putting into words or actions one's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. That is expression. People see that. People feel that. People hear that. Praise and worship, they marry together. Last week we answered the question, why do we do it? We said we praise God because of who He is. We praise God for what He has done. And we praise God for what He is going to do. And I need you to remember that as we progress, because today we're going to talk about the benefits of praise. But you have to have an understanding. Remember, if you don't understand something, you'll falter at it. You'll go okay for a while, but if you don't truly understand it, you won't stay with it. So we have to know, why do we praise? We praise God for who He is, first and foremost. what He has done and what He is going to do. That is why I absolutely love that last song that Trey and the band led us in. The benefits of praise. Before I begin and we dive right into number one, and I pray that you'll take some notes today. If God speaks, it's worth writing down. I want, in the spirit of full transparency, the simplicity of this message is not me being condescending or talking down to anyone in this room thinking you don't get it. The simplicity of this message is because it's really quite simple. We've just convoluted it too much. So if I tell you things you've already known, I expect you to amen that. Furthermore, I expect you to be practicing that. Because if you already knew it, you are without excuse, as am I. So it's not me coming up here wagging my finger. It's us all getting on the same page of having a desire in our heart that nothing will stop us from praising our King. But let's be honest. We all kind of want to know what's in it for us. That's not a bad thing. It's not, that is not a bad thing. Now we should praise whether that question is ever answered or not. We should worship whether that question is ever answered or not. But I want you to see through Scripture there are some real biblical benefits of praising God. And I want us to just look at a couple today. There is no way in God's green earth that I'm going to get done today with what I have in my heart. So I know that going in. So let's just hang on, and we will probably undoubtedly pick this up next week. Are you taking notes today? All right. Let's understand that we are giving praise to Jesus. And we give praise to Jesus because He is the King of life. He's the King of the rich life. He's the King of the poor life. He's the King of the good life. He's the King of the bad life. He's the King of the people that are trying to do their best. He's the King of the people that couldn't care less. He's just King. And it is our responsibility to respond to the King. Amen. We have to respond to the King. He is Lord of all. He's the Lord of the sick. He's the Lord of the healthy. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all. So no matter where you are, listen to me. Now, this is very important. No matter where you are in your faith, no matter where you are in your belief system, you may be here today under the sound of my voice, and you like make no bones about it. See, I was a liar. I was a faker. I grew up in church. I was over-churched. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I knew how to do it. Traveled the country doing it. And then one day, God whispered into my heart, and His whisper was the sound of thunder. And I gave Him my life. All of it. And so no matter where you are, you're not here by accident, number one. Number two, He's still the Lord of your life. No, Jeff, I got this. Man, I'm here to be straight up honest with you. You ain't got nothing. Because as we sung and as Trey set up so beautifully, right now you're like, I got this. My life is put together. I got this. Listen. How many know that 30 seconds from now it could be completely different? Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And He's the Lord of your life, whether you want to know it or not. And what He's come here today to do is to just speak to your heart so that you remove you off your throne and place Him where He belongs. and you bow before the King, and you repent of your sins, and that just simply means you turn from who you were, and He makes you a brand new person. And you are gloriously, eternally saved. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of all life. Jeff, what's some of the benefits of praise? I'm glad you asked. Number one, if you're taking notes, praise benefits us because it positions us. Everybody says position us. Position us. More specifically, praise positions us to enter into the promises of God. Do you have your Bibles out? Turn to Numbers chapter 14, please. The first benefit of praise that I can find in the Scripture is that it places us in a position to where God can bless us. Praise opens up avenues. Praise brings heaven to earth. Praise positions us to enter into His promises. If you remember in Numbers 13 and 14, there were these spies that went out. And if this is a new story to you and you've never heard it, oh, I encourage you. Listen, man, read in your Bible. I'll have somebody show you where Numbers are. Use the table of contents. That's awesome. I'm so glad it's there sometimes, right? Right? Try to find Nehemiah, okay? And then read Numbers 13 and 14. I don't care what translation you read it out of. Just read Numbers 13 and 14. And what you're going to find is there were these 12 spies that were sent out to check out God's promise. Check out the land that God had already promised and said that was theirs. So 12 of them went out. And they all 12 came back. But 10 of them didn't know how to praise. They went out to check the promised land before they entered in. And when the 10 came back, they were faithless. They were complaining and they had negative reports. And you know the story, so I won't belabor it. But they said things like, the people are too big and we're too small. It ain't about the people being big and us too small. God is bigger than anything else. And so praise positions us to receive the promises that He's given us. He's like, the land is going to devour us. We can't do it. And then there was these two guys that just didn't know any better. Joshua and Caleb. They come along and you know the story. They came back with realistic reports. You're like, wait, were there giants in the land? Yeah. But see, they walked in a reality that God was bigger. And what we need to do here is understand that I don't know what you're facing, and I'm not downplaying what you're facing. Please don't mishear me. And I'm not saying it's fun. And I'm not saying that you'd give anything for your situation to be different. I get it. I've so been there. But what I want you to understand is, but God. And God is bigger. And if your situation doesn't change. When Trey and I were touring together and he was drumming for the band, and when I would speak to people, and I would have such a burden for the places we would go, because I would just feel the heaviness sometimes of churches you would go into. You ever walked into church and just felt like you're walking through like mud? Yeah, and I take responsibility. You know, a lot of it was probably me, but regardless, it felt that way. And it was hard to, A, it was hard to lead worship. B, it was hard to preach. We'd get back on the bus and Rob would be driving us to the next place. And I would meet with the guys. And I'm like, guys, you know, I was like the motivational speaker. I'm like, guys, listen, I know that was tough, man. That was like super tough. But listen, we gave him the truth. And we looked at our ministry as a minister to church leaders, because what our prayer was always that after we're gone, the next time they met was different. And I would ask them sometimes, because there would be discouragement, and I would be just as discouraged, just as discouraged. But if everybody's discouraged and nobody says, then you just wallow in it and eventually you want to quit. Somebody going to be honest today? Yeah. So I would say, fellas, look at me. And I would say, hey, what if it never changes? What if that's every venue we play? What if that's every church? What if that's every convention? What if that's every everything? What if it doesn't change? Are we not going to do what it is we're going to do? Because God is bigger than that. And it's not about us. It's about releasing the praise of God because God positions us for promise. And Caleb and Joshua understood that there was a reality of what they seen, and then there was a reality of the unseen. And the unseen was that God had already said what they were going to get. And what praise does, it positions you to receive it. Are you still with me? They came back with positive attitudes and praise just flowing out of their mouth. Numbers chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. And I'll draw some things out. Look at it. The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. Pause. That's not what the first group said. In fact, their exact wording was, it's going to devour us. In other words, hey, if we go and we claim the promise that God gave us, we'll die. They came back and said, man, you ain't going to believe this. It is banging. I mean, it's vacation land. I mean, the other guys came back and they talked about that we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. They were whiners. Let's call it what it is. See, the problem was they got comfortable thinking their life would never get better. They were stuck. Let's be honest, it's hard to praise when we're stuck, isn't it? It's hard to praise when we're stuck. And if the Lord is pleased with us, I want you to look at some of these things. Here's some of the promises. He will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a land, it is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey. They're just helpless prey to us. They have no protection. Or when I want to like jump forward to like when we talk about praise is a weapon. But I'm going to try to be patient and teach a little along the way. Just hang with me. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. What a promise. They came back with praises on their lips. And I want you to notice the difference in the attitude and the expression. Unfortunately, the Israelites listened to the whiners. They listened to the pessimists instead of believing the promise. Trademark. Just in case somebody wants to steal that. I like that. They listened to the pessimist instead of believing the promise. Yeah, I like that. Rule number one in the Burke House, and I happen to know rule number one in the Bright House and rule number one in the Voorhees House, those are my kids, and rule number one in the Burke House on the West Coast is if you whine, you don't get it. Never give a kid something if he's whining. Parents, this became a parent conference and you didn't even know it because you need to write that down because you're tired of hearing them whine, so you cave. Any honest parents in the room? Yeah, right on, right on. Listen, kids outsmart us every day just like we think we've trained our dog. No. My dog goes and sits at the door. Oh my God, he's at the door. He's got me trained. He will stand by his dish and look at me like, he won't move. Ask Miss Kim, he won't move. He'll just stand there. And I'll pretend, I'll like go on my day, man. It ain't time for you to eat. I'll tell you when it's time to eat. Okay. You got us trained. Don't give in to the whiners. Did you hear me? Don't give in to the whiners. That's a good rule, parents. You say, Jeff, I don't know. Why is that a good rule? It's a good rule because God had the same rule. And he refused to give the promised land to the whiners. Jeff, how long do I wait before I give the whiner what he wants? Well, God waited 40 years for the whining and the complaining to die out of Israel. And the only people that were able to enter in were those who believed the promise. It's a good rule. If God did it, it's a good rule. We established last week that since God is the same always, yesterday, today, and forever, I just believe that the same rule applies. Hallelujah. Therefore, if he still has promises in store for his people, and he does, you included, me included, since he has promises for his people, it could be the miracle you've been waiting on. It could be the ministry to open up that you've been wanting to start. It could be a dream that you've had. It could be your destiny that was spoken into you so many years ago. I don't know what it is. It could be the restoration of a relationship. It could be your marriage being healed. It could be your physical body being healed. I don't know what God has promised you, but I know the Bible is full of promises. And praise positions you and I to receive that. Amen. But if we keep focusing on the problem and not praising in the problem, we won't have the privilege of getting the promise. You say, Jeff, what happens? Well, again, he never changes. He never changes. So if you're not ready to praise him, thus positioning yourself to receive the promise, the same thing for you and I will happen to the original children of Israel, God's original people, and it will be you and I will do laps in the wilderness. Don't raise your hand, but anybody in the room ever done laps in the wilderness because we're so dense that we think God's going to cave on us. And like, if I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because what I'm doing is going to be best. I have. And just so you know, it doesn't turn out well. He sent them walking in a circle. Remember, he never changes. You say, Jeff, why the desert? Why the wilderness? Because it's in that wilderness. It's in that, some of you, it's going to resonate with some of you because you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in that desert. It's in that wilderness where you learn how to praise God. It's in that wilderness. It's in that desert that it leads you to the mountain so you'll know God. That was the point. Moses kept trying to get him to come to the mountain where God was. Now we're good. In fact, they literally said, you go up, talk to God, come back, tell us what he says. That's one of the reasons, like, you know, if I've preached a message on praising, thus you getting your promise, and you're here, you're taking notes, and you call me tomorrow, and you ain't done what it is, I'm not meeting you like right away and dropping everything. I'm going to say, go listen to the message again. Because all I'm going to do is sit down with you and say the same thing I've already said. Because I'm not your answer. I'm not your answer. I'm not. God is. God is the answer. If you're in the desert right now, you know what? I listen, I know it's not fun, and again, I'm not being condescending. I'm not taking your situation lightly. Please don't mishear me, and for the love of God, don't misquote me. If you are in the desert right now, take heart, because it wasn't designed to crush you. It was designed to get you to the mountain so that you can move closer to God. And what will make the difference? Attitude. Perception. Praise. Positioning you for the promise. Write this down if you would please. You will only die in the desert if you refuse to move closer to God. You'll only die in the desert if you and I refuse to move closer. Praise positions us to receive. I know you ain't seen it yet. You haven't touched it yet. Maybe you've not felt it yet. My question is, do you believe it? And you've got to position yourself in your heart to be able to receive. The promise was given to the children of Israel. And the ones that got to receive the promise and enjoy the promise were the generation behind the ones that the promise was actually given to. So your praise isn't just all about you receiving your promise. It's about those coming behind you receiving the promise. That's a great benefit, isn't it? Benefit of praise. It positions you to receive your promise. Number two, if you're taking notes, praise benefits us because God shows up. God shows up. Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Everybody say enthroned. That's important. That's important. That's important. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Now, in the scriptures, when you read Israel, he's talking about God's people. Those in the church, not the building, the church. Saved by the grace of God, understanding that we were sinners and God bankrupted heaven, gave his only son, died, took on my sin, your sin, died on a cross, paid the price, was the sacrifice, and in 3 days rose again, and every day is Easter Sunday at Living Water because he's alive. Praise God is enthroned on the praises of his people. Feel the weight of that. When you were growing up, if you grew up like I did, it always said God inhabits the praises of his people. And that's accurate. But it misses it by that much. And far be it from me to correct the Bible, because that's not what I'm doing. It's very hard to translate old archaic language into the English language, because the English language is a very difficult language to translate things to. But inhabit the praises of his people is totally different than being enthroned on the praises of people. And Israel is a picture of us as Christ followers. We are God's chosen people. That should humble us. I love the way the Amplified Version renders this verse. It says this, "But you are holy, O you who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered." Now, what exactly are these verses trying to tell us? Basically, if we broke it down, this word enthroned, it's the revelation that wherever the people of God praise him, wherever they are, he comes. Well, I don't feel like praising. Well, don't you feel like the presence of God? Don't you think you need him in this situation? Well, yeah, I need him, but Jeff, you just don't understand, you and your perfect life. Hey, you don't know me very well, do you? But here's the thing. What usually happens, and I know there is always an exception to the rule, and you might be that exception. I hope you are. What usually happens is when we start hitting our head against the wall and things don't seem to be changing. In fact, they're kind of going from bad to worse, which, by the way, is usually how it goes. Read any story in the Bible. Lazarus kind of went from bad to worse until Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, it went from like super bad to like awesome, because he speaks life He is life. Praises makes God show up in your presence. But what does it mean to be enthroned? It means that... Let me paint this picture for you. When we praise, this is exactly what this word is translated to. When we praise, it's as if the throne of the living God drops down into where you are praising. See, it doesn't just inhabit there. It's not a visitation. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. Why enthroned? Where there's a throne, there is reign, R-E-I-G-N. Where there is a throne, there is a kingdom getting ready to be set up. And the praises of the people cause the glory of the living God to descend on that place and on those people. And God, who is already the king, his throne is established, which changes the environment, which changes our culture. It changes our mindset. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It is an absolute change of every way you look at everything. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. When he shows up, the atmosphere is changed. Your perspective is changed. Your situation might stay the same, or God might choose to change it. That's neither here nor there when the king is present. Because all the king has to do is give a nod, and things are in motion. But see, we don't understand that because we don't live with a kingdom mindset. We live in a society where our opinion matters, we think. And we're gonna legislate morality at the voting booth. That's not how it works. No. You legislate morality at the cross. Sorry about your luck. You can vote who forever you want, and I hope you're happy with who you got. But here, listen to me. What we need is the people of God to praise so that God is enthroned on this earth and we stop changing our culture to be worse, but rather morph it into being the kingdom of heaven. Praise causes God to want to be around you. I talked about my dog a minute ago. I just tell stories about my family. I can talk about your family if you want, but if I'm always saying no, if I'm always got this negative attitude toward my dog, even though he has unconditional love for me, and he has no concept of time, I can go out and get the mail. You think I'm gone for 3 weeks. He's like, why? When did you get here? I've been here, bro. But if it's always negative, why would he want to be around me? If I come in the room and he does one of these, if he winces, I'm doing something wrong. But when I praise him, he tries to wag his tail, but like his whole butt wags. You know how boxers do. And then they do a U. It's a weird, it's a walking U. I don't know how to, and I think I just do my back out, but that's not important right now. Praise causes God to want to be around you. It brings heaven to earth. Because God lives where His people praise. And when His people praise Him, and I've already said it, when He's present, anything is possible. Church, our praises build a seat of honor for the King to come and rest His glory on. It's not just singing words to a song. It's not even singing at all. Praise is worship from a motivated heart that is madly in love with your God and His Son who gave everything, including His life, so that we could be in a relationship with the life giver. It's us living a life that demonstrates that reflects that love, that reflects the price that was paid. That's praise. And God wants to be a part of that. We have a big God. Come on, somebody. We got a big God. He deserves big praises. God. And listen, let me ask you this. When you praise God, is your throne big enough to hold the glory of God based on your praise? Fair question. I want, and it is the desire of my heart, that my praise, because of who God is and the fact that it positions us for a promise, and one of the promises is that He will be enthroned on the praises of His people. The desire of my heart is that the glory of God is more every time we meet to praise. Every time you praise Him in your home, I pray that the glory of God is more tangible than it was the day before. And if we believe what the Bible says, then we have to believe that praise benefits us because He shows up. So you know what it boils down to? It boils down to how much of the presence of God does Jeff Burke want. That's really what it boils down to. How much of Jeff Burke's life does Jeff Burke think he's got under control? How much of God's glory do we want? I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm up here and you're down there, and I hate the way it's laid out. I used to preach from down here because I don't like being up there. But you probably haven't noticed, but I'm not that tall. So I'll take the two steps and I'll go up here. But what I find incredibly interesting is that if I wasn't the pastor of this church, I would still come to this church. You say, Jeff, well, you're saying that. No, I'm telling you the Sunday school truth. Because I've never walked through the doors and not felt the presence of the Spirit of God. And I don't say that as your pastor. I say that as an co-owner. See, I don't believe in membership. No, we're owners. We're either all in or we ain't. Again, I'll repeat. If you're a member of a gym and something breaks down, you go and tell somebody. Excuse me, but the treadmill's broken. And you walk away. That's what members do. Owners are like, the treadmill's broken. I got to get on this. I would come here because, man, I'm telling you, some of the greatest experiences I've ever had with Jesus have not been standing on this stage, although I've had some incredible ones. It's been just me and Him, me starting sitting on that row in the dark, just sitting here talking to God, usually crying about something. And by that I mean I'm broken, not whining, although I've done that a lot too. But then it ends up that I'll be bowed down, and then next thing you know, I'm just on my face, and I'm like just crying out to God. And it changes the atmosphere because He is enthroned on the praises of His people. How much of His presence do you and I want in our church? How much of His presence do you want in your home? How much of His presence do you want in your marriage? God, I hope you're hearing this. Listen. programs and plans are not the answer. I'm not anti-program. I'm not anti-plan. Trust me. You go on vacation. That wasn't where you're supposed to laugh. but you've been on vacation with me, so yeah. Man, I'm all about the plan, man. I took my family out to Colorado, and we went to Pikes Peak, and we got up to the thing, the gate, and Kay came out and said, Pikes Peak is closed. It can't be closed. No. It's Tuesday. Tuesday, we're going to Pikes Peak. Well, it's closed. It can't be closed. Have I told you yet I struggle with control sometimes? Or OCDs. I'm not sure which it is. Probably a combination of, I'm a mess. Programs and plans will fail. God's presence will not. Ever. So why not do everything we can to get as much of His presence in our presence? And you don't do it by manipulation. You certainly don't do it by whining. You do it through praise. See, God's got to feel welcome. He's the King. And does whatever He wants. I want Him to want to be with us. Amen? I want Him to want to come in and change our lives. Amen. Praise creates a meeting place. Number three, this is what I want to get to, and it will be my last point, however far I get. Praise benefits us because it positions us. Praise benefits us because God shows up. Praise benefits us because it is a weapon for war. Praise is your weapon for war. Now, you might be thinking I'm talking about war with another country. Ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the war that goes on inside of everybody in this room fighting good and evil inside of themselves. Did you hear me? So let's drop the piety, let's drop the self-righteousness, and let's just admit that we battle against heavenly realms. Satan, Jesus, you and I know that the game's already over. And we win. But are you winning? Are you winning? And your situation is not what reflects that. It's how you are in the situation that reflects that. It's how I am in the situation. See, not only does praise invite the presence of the mighty warrior God, the Lord of hosts, he said, and described in the scripture. Not only does praise invite His presence, but it's also the weapon we use when we release it. And you're like, Jeff, now you're just stretching it. You've gone too far. You're reading too much. I don't think so. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is a sword. Yes? Well, for those who still need convinced, Hebrews, look on the screen behind me. Hebrews, your Bible says, for the Word of God is alive, and it's powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. What is praise but the expressed Word of God? That's what praise is. Praise is us returning back to God what He's given us. It is the blessing of life. It is the blessing of breath. It is the blessing of our being. It is the blessing of our blessings. It is us returning everything we are back to Him. That's praise. And that's what the Word of God is. the Word of God. Praise is the very manifested Word of God. All the promises, the very nature of God. Praise is powerful. Praise is active. Praise is even aggressive. When it comes to being a weapon of warfare, praise cuts down our enemy. God, help me say this. Praise cuts down our enemy before we even know we're being chased by the enemy. You're like, I know I'm being chased by him. Then you should be praising harder than any of us. If you believe what this book says, he enthrones the praises of his people, and praise is used as a, you know why praise is a weapon? God help me. Praise is a weapon because our enemy doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't resonate with him. It frustrates him. It aggravates him. You're like, well, then if I praise, he's going to like pour on more of the heat. No, when you praise, he don't know what to do. He gets confused. He starts chasing his tail. And I'm not saying he actually has a real tail. But he starts going in circles. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Listen. Praise contradicts the lies of the devil. Psalm 8, verse 2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Oh, listen. I so appreciate the amen and the golf clap. I'm going to read it again. And then I would hope that you would respond to the degree that this verse declares. Through the praise of children and infants, you, God, have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise stops the enemy. It's the weapon. It's the greatest weapon you have. Praise is the greatest weapon you have. Listen, here's what we do. Here's what we do as church kids. Here's what we do. We start throwing verses. Thus says the Lord. And then we start rebuking stuff. Huh? I rebuked because the devil's behind every bush in our life. That's not true. He's not. No. We own every place we step. We own because the King owns it. So we start throwing some verses at it. I'm not telling you to stop doing that because there's power in the Word. But that's the easy way out, church. And my experience has been most of the time the verses we're throwing at the enemy are out of context. So he's like, plink. Because we just like grab one we know. Instead of praising out of a heart motivated by love, and the King of heaven comes to earth, God, Satan stands silent and discombobulated before praise, and he has no defense against it. Why? Because his main strategy and number one weapon is deception. The devil is a liar. His number one weapon is deception. Praise, on the other hand, when born out of a pure heart and focusing on a pure God, praise is pure truth. It is the Word manifested. It is the Word spoken. Your Bible says there is life and death in the tongue. That's why it's an expression. Can I just praise like on the DL and just kind of, you know, I don't want to be made fun of. Well, you want to be made fun of? Or you want the devil to overtake you? I don't know. Your call. Praise. When you and I learn how to praise when we don't feel like it, we'll be able to pray our way out of deception. We'll be able to praise our way out of discouragement. We'll be able to praise our way out of confusion, because deception, discouragement, confusion, they're part of the language of hell. Those aren't heavenly languages. Are you still with me? See, praise not only refutes Satan's lies, it slaps him in his mouth. Like all up in his mouth. The psalmist said that the praise silences our foes. And the picture here is of children and infants. Why is the picture that the poet is trying to paint for us that of children and infants? Because children and infants have a faith that I wish I had. I'm telling you, man, when my little grandkids pray, man, I just envision God telling them, hold up. Little Jeremiah fold his hands. He'll pray. He always says, and help Papa's hands. Iris does it. Dylan does it. Emma. They all do it. And help Papa's hands and help his back not to hurt. And man, they just speak these incredible prayers because they believe. And I believe that's why the psalmist paints the picture of if we praise like children. I mean, everybody in this room that's got little kids that now they've grown up, you got video on either a VHS tape, maybe a Betamax, I'm not sure. Don't want to be too degrading. But you might have a VHS or maybe an 8mm, and you got your kid dancing like he lost his dang mind to a song that he doesn't know. But there's a freedom of expression. And I believe that because praise confuses the enemy, and because praise will help us, and it is our way out of deception, discouragement, and confusion, because it is the language of hell, it slaps him in his mouth, and we need to be like a child and have the faith to believe when we praise, God's going to do something about it. Amen and amen. Psalm 149, go there, please. Psalm 149, I want you to look at it. I want you to look at Psalm 149. I'll be reading it out of the New International Version. Psalm 149, you're saying, what verse? All of them. Psalm 149, when you got it, say amen. If you say, hold on, say amen. All right, we'll wait. I don't know when the church decided we would praise when we feel like it. That's just too easy, church. Anybody can praise when everything's going great. Payday? God is good. Am I right? Get paid once a month? These 5 Sunday months? I mean, God's still good. It don't change. But sometimes you got to muster up a different level of praise. Am I right? Psalm 149. Let's look at what it says. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of his faithful. That's me and you. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel. That's translated tambourine. And no, I've heard no. If you can't keep time, no tambourine. Make music to him with a tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Hallelujah. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hands. Are you seeing the picture? To inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron. Are you seeing it? To carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Praise is a weapon. And when you release it, it confuses the enemy. And it will cause victory to come into your life. Because the enemy don't know what to do when you should be shivering in your boots. Instead, you're shouting praises to the one that's going to bring you victory before victory ever comes. Don't know what to do with it. Listen. Praise causes God to show up. Praise is the weapon that we need to use. God, help us see it. Did you know that your praise can bind the enemy's hands? Did you know that praise can tear down the strongholds in your life? Did you know it? Did you know that it will exact vengeance of God against the kingdom of darkness? I love verse 9. This is the glory of all His faithful people. God. Praise causes panic. Praise causes confusion in the ranks of Satan's army. They don't know what to do. They start turning on one another. I'll show you in a minute. But like any war that's ever been fought, listen. Praise interrupts the line of communication for the enemy, God. In any war that's ever been fought, interrupt the lines of communication and you win. Interrupt the lines of communication between the enemy that you are fighting and you've got a guaranteed victory. Guaranteed. Because if they can't communicate strategy, they can't fight against you. Oh, God, I wish you would get this. Praise interrupts what Satan is trying to do to you. It's the weapon you have because it is the word spoken because you believe it in a heart that believes that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we look at it a little closer? Mark chapter 5. You can turn there, but for the sake of time, just hear me, please. When Jesus, he came upon a man who was possessed. He crossed the boat, crossed the lake, and he landed on shore. And Jesus asked him his name, and the demon replied in Mark 5 verse 9, "My name is Legion because there are many of us inside the man." Now, right before this, you got to understand that Jesus stepped out on a boat, and as soon as his feet touched the shore, an executive order went out. And an executive order went out and said, the king is now in the building. And because he is in the building, things are about to change. And so now the enemy doesn't know what to do. See, the enemy was bold at first. My name is Legion because there's many of us. Do you feel that? Oh. And the king begins to move. Verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most Hi, God." And if you're not familiar with the story, I'll give you the quick ending. He delivers this man from all the demons that were possessing him. And the demons beg Jesus not to destroy him. Did you hear me? And he cast that demon and all of the demons that were in that man into a very large herd of pigs. Historical writers all say the same thing. It was at least 2,000 pigs. At least 2,000 pigs. At least 2,000 pigs feeding on a nearby hillside, and Jesus commanded the demons to go. And the pigs, under the influence of the demons, you've got to hear what I'm saying. Under the influence of the demons, the pigs ran over the side of a cliff into the lake and drowned themselves. In that story, what was taken out of the equation? What was taken out of the equation? The demons, we already know that. The man. Oh, you got to hear this. When Jesus shows up, he takes care of that which is trying to get to you. And he moves you away from being the center of the attention. And he addresses the problem. Because the enemy only knows how to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Oh, but not just life, life overflowing. John 10, verse 10. But we've got to get out of the way and praise. You're like, man, I don't feel like praising. It's just I'm just confused. I'm overwhelmed. Anybody been overwhelmed this week? Be honest. Raise your hand up high. You been overwhelmed this week? Yeah. Oh, look. Now, I got to ask you, and guilt's not a motivator, so I don't use it. Have you praised harder this week, every one of you that raised your hand? Have you looked the devil in the eye and said, listen, I got to get out of the way because God's getting ready to take care of this discouragement and deception and confusion in my life right now. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And so listen, here's what I'm going to do. Hey, kids, you need to just leave mommy alone. You need to leave daddy alone for a minute because I'm about to get my praise on because we've got to interrupt the communication of the enemy because we've got to get victory here. My experience has been, usually that's not how it goes. Why? I think it's a fair question. Why? Why not? Why? Well, the answer is 100% the same. Because I don't feel like it. Man, I don't mean to be that guy, but God never asks you how you feel. He just doesn't. I got good news and bad for all of us today. I got good news, bad news. Good cop, bad cop here. Bad news, Satan wants to destroy you and your family, your faith, and your life. I mean, that's his plan. Good news, Jesus' presence through praise is so scary to demons, it removes you as the target from the picture. And then he attacks the problem. Praise is the weapon. Praise is the weapon. Praise invites God's presence. God's presence confuses the enemy. Oh, I'm going to give you one more quick example. Just write down these verses. They might be in your worship guide, but I'm going to read them. King Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah. He was a good, good king. He was being threatened by three different armies. I said three different armies. In other words, they were coming at him from all directions. Those of you that raised your hands that you were overwhelmed, it felt like that this week, did it not? Yeah. All directions. Nothing was going right. Jehoshaphat had three armies coming against him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he felt hopeless. Watch what he does. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 4, 5, and 6, and then verse 10, and I'll probably go through 12. I don't know. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. They knew trouble was coming. Trouble was upon them. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. Do you see him praise yet? You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. Do you see him praise yet? You are powerful and mighty. Do you see him praise yet? No one can stand against you. Do you see him praise yet? Verse 10, and now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. They have come to throw us out of your hand, which you gave us an inheritance. Verse 12, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against the mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do. How many honest people do we have in the room, starting with me? You are up against stuff. You don't know what to do. It's bigger than you. It's confusing. Why do I feel this way? I got a great life. What is going on? You've let the enemy dictate your reality. Praise moves you out of the way so that the weapon of praise can attack the enemy. I love that the king, he's the king. He's standing before the whole community and he says, I don't know what to do. I know you're awesome, but I don't know what to do. So we're looking for you to help. So they did what they knew to do. Miss Kim is so wise and she said years ago, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Now remember, regardless of circumstances, God never changed, yes? So he's always worthy of praise. So that's what they did. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the man standing there. His name was Jehaziel. He said, listen, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, brave man. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, exclamation point. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming up against the ascent, Ziz, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness. God is so specific. He's so specific. You're like, man, I don't know why I feel this way. If you'll praise Him, you will know exactly why you feel that way. He didn't just say an enemy's coming. He gave him the route that they were going to take to get to him. God, I hope you're seeing this. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. I said positions. Remember point number? Take your position. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow. The Lord is with you. All they had to do was take their position and believe God's promise. All they had to do was take their position of praise. Believe God's promise. Verse 18. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. We talked about that. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites were the priests. Go back to week one, you'll understand that you and I are the priests. So the king is worshiping, he's face down. So the priests step up, and they stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I don't believe in expressive praise. Then rip that page out of your daggone Bible, because they praised with a very loud shout. Psalm 33:3, play skillfully before the Lord with a loud noise. God help us see it. So there they were praising Him for what He was going to do. They praised in faith, believing. Verse 20, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out, and the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Wait, stop, what? No, king, we don't need choir practice. Give me the archers. Give me the infantrymen. No. I need some sopranos right over there. And I need, you know, that one lady that can't sing, but we hear her. But man, she loves Jesus, so put her right over here too. Because it's a loud noise. So put the singers in front of the... God help me. God help me. He put the singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, His faithful love endures forever. Three armies. Three enemy armies. And they send the singers. The king knew the battle was the Lord's. How did he know? He said, the battle had been fought. How did he know? Because God said so. End of story. He didn't send in his chariots. He didn't send in any weaponry. Listen, what he sent in was praise. Verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord calls the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. They interrupt the communication of the enemy. It confused them. Praise. They didn't know what to do when they started praising, so they turned on each other and killed each other. It's in your book. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then why, in the name of God, if this has been the most overwhelming week you've had in a while, you should be the one that the neighbors are saying, what is wrong with that lady? What is wrong with that guy? Why is, man, I used to walk around the backyard, man, with my Bible out, just praising. And man, I didn't know until one day I turned around real quick and the old guy that used to live next to me was looking through his blinds. I can't even imagine what was going through his head. Can you just imagine? I mean, he's got his finger on 911 at any moment. What he didn't know is so did I. They begin to sing and give praise, and they fought amongst themselves. Verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point where the prophet told them they'd be, in the Where? In the where? They praised in the wilderness. All they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. They praised. God's throne came down. God showed up. Praise was the weapon. They didn't have to lift a finger. God moved you out of the way, and the enemy fought against himself. Praise. It's more than a fast song with a killer breakdown. In fact, they named the place Barakah. And you might think I'm making it up, but if you own the Hebrew dictionary, if not, Google it. Literally translated to praise with expression. Verse 27, and I close. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them. Overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies, they marched into Jerusalem. The band was just tearing it up. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, and lyres, and trumpets, and Les Pauls, and flying V's. And I'm just adding that part because that's what's going on in my mind. And they proceeded to the church. They proceeded to the house of worship. I love the way the message paraphrases this. Jehoshaphat then led all the men of Judah and Jerusalem back to Jerusalem. An exuberant parade. God had given them joyful relief from their enemies. Exclamation point. They entered Jerusalem and came to the temple of God with all the instruments of the band playing. Listen, when they got home, they went to the sanctuary victorious. How could they do that? Three armies were coming against them. Easy. God said, this battle ain't yours, it's mine. And to win it, you got to praise me. So he positioned some singers, put the band in place, and these guys are back here sharpening the end of their arrows. Wait, what? The captain of the army's like, guys, get ready. This is a trick. He's just going to try to trick me. So be ready, okay? Wait, they're gone. Because praise interrupts the communication of the enemy, and it causes God, I feel him in this place. It causes the enemy to cave in on himself. And he's got to go to another host. I said he's got to go to another host. Remember the pigs? He's got to go. Someone that won't praise. Oh, you're not hearing me. Somebody that won't worship. Somebody that thinks they got it under control. Somebody that won't. Those are some benefits, church. The benefits outweigh your consequence. And we got to get this. The Church of Jesus Christ has to get this. Would you bow your heads with me? We've only covered three benefits. I'll pick it up next week. I want to ask you, with such a clear and what I would call a weighty amount of evidence, why does the church, including me, I'm part of the church, why does the church sometimes choose to not do what it is that God has promised? He will respond to heartfelt praise. And we choose to not do that which will keep away the enemy, that which will bring us into victory, that which will encourage us, that which will bring clarity to confusion, that which will give us answers to questions. Why does the church wait until, quote, all I can do is pray? I'm here to tell you that we ain't giving up that easy. I don't want you to be okay with that. I want you to leave here with a better understanding of praise. If you're here today and you would say, Jeff, I raised my hand that this week was overwhelming, and I'm confessing before God, and I'm asking you to pray for me and with me. I tried to praise, didn't feel it, so I quit. Or maybe you didn't even try at all. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to have you now respond to what you've seen and heard from the Scriptures. Don't respond to me. Don't respond to my stupid dog story. Respond to the promises of God. Jeff, I've been overwhelmed. I've been there this week. It's overwhelming. And instead of praising, I just went deeper and deeper into the darkness. Who would be honest, raise their hand and say, but today. Everybody say, but today. But today I've learned to praise. Today I've learned what the weapon is that will fix it. I've learned that God enthrones the place. I've learned it. So now I'm accountable. And it's going to be different from this point on. If that's you, raise your hand high up in the air. High up in the air. Everybody. Everybody. Come on now. Come on now. Don't let pride steal this from you. Please, please. Jeff, I've not praised. I've not praised hard. Listen, I've not praised hard enough. I've not praised loud enough. I have not give him his due. It's been an overwhelming situation. But you know, daggone it, I'm going to start my day with worship and praise. And it will be different because God promised it would be. And the enemy's going to be confused. My confusion's going to clear up. And it's the enemy that's going to be confused. And they're going to cave in on each other. And I'm going to walk in victory. Thus saith the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father. Oh, God, that we would not just hope to do this. God, that it would not just be something else that we've learned. Oh, no, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would practice this. We would own this. This would become our reality. That we don't care what anyone thinks. We don't care what they say about us. We will praise, because when we do, the creator of the universe, the Lord of lords and King of kings, comes into my presence and fights my battles. So I'm going to get my little weapons of warfare that clearly haven't worked, and my little books that I'm reading, and all of those little things that I'm relying on. They got to go to the side. I'll read them later. Right now, I'm going to put praise out front, and it's going to go before my problem. It's going to go before everything I think I can do, and the enemy will fall. Lord, I pray, just speak to your people. Maybe you're here today and you would say, Jeff, I can't do all of that because of my relationship with Jesus. It's not shored up. It's not. In fact, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't even want to be here. I mean, I'm just going to be straight up. I don't even want to be here, man. I got better things to do. And I know the game comes on like in like 45 minutes. I don't want to be here. Yeah, but listen, you know God spoke to your heart. And you can leave the same or you can leave changed. It's choice is yours. Who would say, Jeff, I got to have a new starting point. I need a new mile marker in my life. Jesus gave his life so that I could live and live it more abundantly. He died for me, and he beat death, hell, and the grave when he rose again, all so that I can be in a relationship with Jesus. If you say, Jeff, today I need Jesus. I need him to forgive me. I come back to him. Or maybe it's the first time. And I move myself off of the throne. And I place the Lord of Lords on the throne. And I ask him to forgive me of my sins. And make it a fresh start. If that's you, raise your hand in the air right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. There ain't nothing worth waiting on. God bless you, dear. I'm so proud of you. That took courage. Thank you, sweetie. Who else? Who would have the courage of this young lady that would say, Jeff, I know, man. I know. I know my life's not right. I know I'm not living it right. And as soon as I get cleaned up and all straightened out, I'll come to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing, man. You don't do that. That's not how it works. You come to Jesus and He fixes you. You don't possess the ability. I don't possess the ability to fix myself. Who else? Jeff, today's the day. Today's the day I start on my journey with Jesus today. Who else? Who else? Come on. Have the courage of this young lady. All right, now let me talk to you for a second, and then we're going to pray. There's a couple folks here that's going to be baptized. And that's awesome. You know what baptism is? Baptism is an expression. Baptism is an expression of an internal change that took place. Baptism is you declaring to everyone in attendance, and by the way, man, we tend to celebrate here at Living Water, and it may get a little loud when someone goes under, but just bear with us, and we'll collect ourselves. Baptism is an external expression of something internally that has changed in your life. And if you're here today, and you're like, well, when I was a kid, I got baptized. That's awesome. I'm not downplaying that. But if since then you have seriously started walking with the Lord, you know what you need to do? You need to give an expression of praise. You say, so I'm more saved if I do? No. What you're doing is you're communicating to a group of people that I want you to hold me accountable. Yeah. I want you to see that I mean business. Yeah. If you're new to faith, you need to follow your Lord in baptism. It's not a requirement to come to this church. But man, you will experience such a freedom when you do. And you're like, well, I didn't come prepared for that today. That's why we got you covered. We got towels. We got flip-flops. We got shirts. We got whatever you need. I wonder who in this house right now would say, Jeff, I'm going to be baptized today. I didn't come prepared for it, but it is my expression of praise. It is my expression of a new start. It's my expression of a brand new beginning. If that's you, listen. I want you to get up out of your seat, and my left, your right, I want you to go to that door, male, female, they'll be both waiting for you. They'll take you into a private place. You can change. And I'll meet you in the water. But I don't know why you would want to wait. Yeah. It's the expression of a change. And I'm going to pray. The band's going to play a song and we're going to hit it. And then you're dismissed. But listen to me. Some of you need to get up and have a new restart with the expression of praise through baptism. So as I pray, please go to that door and I will meet you and we'll get baptized. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for those that have raised their hand. Father, I pray, God, you see hearts, I see hands. They have decided to follow Jesus. And God, I thank you for what you've done in their heart. I thank you for what you've done in their life. I thank you for the spirit of conviction that has come upon them, that they would even have the wherewithal to know they need you, God. And Lord, I pray that they would just receive your forgiveness. Just God, they need to receive it, God. They got to stop beating themselves up. They need to turn their life over to you. God, may they receive your forgiveness. Oh, I feel that heavy today, Lord Jesus. May they just be open enough to receive and believe you when you say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, may we believe that today. I pray for men and women in this room, Lord Jesus, that know that they know that they know that they need to be baptized today. but they're going to wait because Granny needs to be here. We are guaranteed this moment. And I pray, Lord God, that you would impress it upon men and women to be obedient to you as you speak to them. In Jesus' powerful, unchanging, unwavering, unstoppable name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. God bless you. Sing, son. I'll meet you in the water.